on this day back in 1984, 36 years ago, Denise Williams, with a two-week run at the top of the charts with that one, Let's Hear It for the Boy, from Footloose. Former backup singer with Stevie Wonder, with a number one hit 36 years ago today. The Footloose soundtrack will always have a special place in my heart. One of the first albums that I ever owned, it was actually an 8-track that my uncle had given me when I was, I guess, 4 or 5 years old. So I know that Footloose soundtrack pretty well. Let's Hear It for the Boy is, well, one of the good songs there. Denise Williams, number one of this day in 84. With that track, Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday morning. On the phone lines right now is Kaylee McGee, a Washington Examiner commentary writer, and has the cover story in the most recent edition of the Examiner, A Disaster of Our Own Making, Small and Rural Hospitals, what's happening with them through this COVID-19 pandemic. Kaylee, thanks for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
The piece focuses on what's happening, what has happened at Hillsdale Hospital in the very town from which I'm broadcasting, familiar with the location and some of the staffers there. And certainly every place and every hospital and every location is going to be different. But if we take Hillsdale Hospital as an avatar for many small rural hospitals across our state and across the country, what's the story? What's been happening there?
Well, the story is that these smaller hospitals are being absolutely crushed by the financial impact of this shutdown. And many of these hospitals already struggled to begin with because a lot of them depend on Medicaid and Medicare, and it's really hard to turn a profit in that regard. And so when you have the elimination of basically all outpatient revenue, you're just going to have serious losses. And that's what Hillsdale Hospital is facing, and that's what many other rural hospitals are facing right now, too.
Now, they were able to prepare a bit because the coronavirus outbreak, of course, was in the larger cities to begin with before some of those cases spread out. But many of these small rural hospitals never saw the sort of numbers that the big cities did. And yet they're expected to maintain some of these systems in place. It's got to be unbelievably frustrating for a lot of these officials.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every county and basically every state is playing by the exact same rules that have been issued down by their governors. And so it is difficult, especially in Michigan, when you have very few cases in areas like Hillsdale, Michigan, and then you have much of the outbreak, which is centered around Detroit, and Governor Whitmer's rules are all basically focused on Detroit's outbreak and not on the other parts of the state. And so it's hard because obviously you want the states to have as much freedom as possible to address their crises as they see fit. But the fact of the matter is that sometimes even the state is too big. And so the question is, how could we have better localized that issue to allow Hillsdale Hospital to have more freedom and then to allow Detroit hospitals to have more freedom to adjust their crises as well?
Kaylee McGee is with us, commentary writer for the Washington Examiner. Find her on Twitter at Kaylee D. McGee. The other factor, or another factor that's happening with many of these small rural hospitals, is the patients who are not receiving care, who are either too afraid to perhaps head in, or just are postponing some of their appointments, whether it be regular screenings or whatever it might be. What did you hear from officials on access and care that's been denied thus far?
Well, health officials are definitely trying to prepare for what is absolutely going to be a backlog of care, because obviously you've had all of these important procedures that have been delayed or postponed or canceled altogether, and now they need to get those back on the books all at the same time. So healthcare workers in a lot of cities are already preparing for longer hours. They're preparing to really work overtime once again to help the country get back on track. And obviously there are still going to be delays because you're right. People are still concerned about going into hospitals given, the current outbreak. But hopefully some of that panic subsides in the next few weeks. And I mean, health officials are worried, though, especially because they're worried that a lot of basic procedures are going to, result in worse recoveries because they've been delayed for so long. And oncologists are worried that cancer diagnoses are going to become worse because they weren't able to catch them sooner. And then there were a couple of California doctors, actually, who said that they've seen more deaths from suicide over the past few months than they have from the coronavirus because people are not meant to live in isolation for such a prolonged period of time. So it is becoming a serious concern among the healthcare community.
And Kaylee, due to lack of revenue or reduced revenue at many of these hospitals, what of course follows but layoffs, that's a big deal too in a number of ways, but maybe primarily because these institutions in many places are the biggest employers in town, supporting economy. So when they start to lose employees, when those employees start being furloughed or laid off, it has a massive effect on not just the hospital, but on the surrounding area.
Yeah, and it's already begun to affect Hillsdale a little bit. So one thing that I had heard a few times from different healthcare workers in the community that I spoke to is that a lot of their insurance providers are actually looking to leave town now because there is literally no revenue to be made at this point. And there wasn't a lot to begin with, and now there's none at all. So it's going to dramatically change the way that the healthcare industry works. I mean, over the long run, it could result in a gradual slimming down of the healthcare industry because you have a lot of administrative staffers who are being let go. And so, you know, the hope is that maybe that turns out to be a good thing in the long run. But, I mean, given the immediate cost, it's really hard to say so because it's just devastating all across the board.
So what would have been a better idea? What might have been a better way to go about handling these cases, these COVID cases, as they popped up around the state?
Almost every single healthcare worker I spoke to said that they would have preferred a more localized system, so allowing each county to determine the policy for the shutdowns as they moved forward, or at least allowing counties to determine the reopening process based on their individual numbers instead of relying on a one-size-fits-all state-by-state approach. The shutdown in and of itself, most healthcare workers agreed that at first it was necessary because there was a legitimate concern that hospitals were going to be overwhelmed because we didn't know a lot about this virus to begin with. And so there was a legitimate concern that personal protective equipment was going to be gone and that they weren't going to have enough beds for these patients. But once it became apparent that surge in some communities was never going to materialize, we should have at least allowed those communities that had managed to flatten the curve before all others to begin some sort of reopening process to help their citizens get back to a normal way of life.
Kaylee, 30 seconds. Hillsdale Hospital apparently will be okay, it says in your story, and they've been fiscally prudent in the past and should survive. But do you think we could see a trend or a number of smaller rural hospitals who simply close their doors here in the next few months?
I think so, and rural hospitals are already beginning to close, and this pandemic has definitely worsened the crisis that they already do face. So they're definitely going to be experiencing some losses.
Kaylee McGee, commentary writer for the Washington Examiner, the cover piece on the most recent edition on small rural hospitals across the country, and especially the one right here in Hillsdale. Follow her on Twitter at Kaylee D. McGee. Kaylee, thank you so much for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Kaylee. And coming back in the home stretch of this Tuesday morning edition of the Steve Gruber Show.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. To say that we are in challenging times is an understatement. Employers and employees are struggling through no fault of their own. But in Michigan, we're tough and we're determined to get through this temporary situation. At the Michigan Chamber, we are working with policymakers at all levels of government to provide the necessary resources for business. We've assembled a coronavirus toolkit at michamber.com. We're providing factual information on unemployment benefits, financial relief resources, and guidance for employers and employees to stay safe. It's clear the business community is leading the way. They're protecting their employees, they're protecting their communities, and they're keeping Michigan economy strong. We'll get through this together. I'm Jim Holcomb from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
Hey, parents, it's hard to pick up your kids nowadays without embarrassing them.
Hi, honey.
Not in front of my friends.
Well, kiss the embarrassment goodbye with OMGPS. OMGPS is a state-of-the-art navigation system that tells you exactly how far away you need to park when you pick up your kids.
Keisha at mall. Proceed to outer food court.
But she's not at the food court. She's at the movie theater.
Exactly. OMGPS comes with patented preteen reasoning technology to pinpoint precise pickup locations and minimize embarrassment.
In 100 yards, turn off the oldies music.
Thanks, OMGPS.
OMGPS is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to adoptuskids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.